We are following the big news in Washington. Testimony today from EU Ambassador Gordon Sondland saying there was a quid pro quo. Everyone from the Secretary of State to the acting White House Chief of Staff knew about it. A deal to get Ukraine to make a public announcement of investigations into the Bidens and the 2016 election in exchange for a meeting in the White House and for military aid. We want to get more analysis and a look at the other news with ABC political director Rick Klein, who's in Atlanta for tonight's Democratic debate. Long day, Rick. Hi.
Great to be with you.
What a day. Your thoughts first on Gordon Sondland, Trump donor, a U.S. ambassador to the EU, one of the point men on what now has to be called the Ukraine deal. You know, the question seemed to be about how close the president was to it, but with all this testimony, there was definitely a move for a deal. Today, Sondland attached a quid pro quo to it. He said a White House meeting. Yeah.
This was explosive testimony. And you can add another title, which is star witness now in the impeachment inquiry, to say explicitly, yes, there was a quid pro quo, to say that all of the major officials up to and including the State Department, the National Security Council, they were kept in the loop, that they were acting at the direction of the president in coordinating with Rudy Giuliani. There were some caveats about whether this was connected directly to withholding aid or not, but the bottom line is this was explosive testimony, bombshell after bombshell, that adds a deep texture to our understanding of this episode.
Well, here's some sound I referenced a few minutes ago. It's Ken Starr, the former independent counsel who led the investigation of President Bill Clinton. He's a Fox News contributor, and he said today this on Fox News.
The real issue is the senators are watching. Are senators going to now say, in light of what we hear today, it's going to be a long day, even with the ambassador alone. In light of what we have heard, we need to make a trip down to the White House. That historic example set during the Nixon presidency. From what I've been able to glean, I don't think that's going to happen. But obviously, what happens today could, has the potential to be a game changer.
Now, we wanted to add that caution that he says, I don't think that's going to happen. But that was before Sondland. And the fact that he's even bringing it up on Fox must have been interesting. What are you hearing from Republicans?
Well, they are clearly concerned about what's come out today, and they're going to focus on aspects of the testimony. The fact that Sondland conceded to Republicans that he never got direction from the president. They're leaving the possibility that Rudy Giuliani was essentially going rogue on this, that he doesn't have documentation of some of these contacts, although Ambassador Sondland made the point that he wants some of these documents. The State Department isn't letting them have them. There have been no public signs yet of Republican break from the president, sufficient with what Ken Starr is suggesting, but his bringing up of what's known in Washington as a Howard Baker moment, where a senior member of Republican leadership tells the president, game over. I don't think we're there, but this definitely gets us closer to a different interpretation of all of these events. And I think you can see it in the anger from the president, for the frustration from some of the Republicans in and around the room. They realize that this day looks extraordinarily bad for the president.
Of course, the other issue is you'd have to have a Howard Baker, who was the Republican who told President Nixon game over. But you mentioned the documents, and I just thought it was interesting that Sondland made quite a show of saying that, yes, he wasn't getting the documents from the State Department. The State Department that he's sort of indicting, you know, in his comments today, saying that Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State, knew all about this. But he also kept saying, because I'm not a note taker. I don't do that. And it just seemed to underscore that this is a newbie. This was a donor who was suddenly appointed EU ambassador, but then also Ukraine was in his portfolio. There are very few diplomats that I've met that don't take copious notes. How did you feel about his presentation?
Well, in some ways, it should make him Donald Trump's dream. Donald Trump doesn't like note takers. He also likes people that are loyal to him. This is a man that that raised $1 million for his campaign. Now, he's a more of an establishment Republican, but he's certainly not a never Trumper. He was named to this post by President Trump. That makes him a powerful witness, though, in deciding to come clean and deciding to say, look, this is how I understood things, and not deciding to line up and defend the president, defend Mike Pompeo, defend Rudy Giuliani. I feel like this is going to add pressure on the administration to release more witnesses, release more documents. Ambassador Sondland making clear he's not going to go down for this, and he is being as honest as he can be without attaching value judgments to his conclusions, acknowledging some missteps along the way, things he should have recognized as the EU ambassador, but a highly irregular set of circumstances that that he was witness to.
Well, I was going to ask you, what are the chances of getting the documents from the State Department that he says will either help with his memory or prove what he's saying? And hold your answer, because we have the intelligence chair, the Democrat Adam Schiff, talking about how this scheme was known far and wide and kind of sending out a not too subtle warning.
We can see why Secretary Pompeo and President Trump have made such a concerted and across-the-board effort to obstruct this investigation and this impeachment inquiry. And I will just say this, they do so at their own peril. I remind the President that Article 3 of the impeachment articles drafted against President Nixon was his refusal to obey the subpoenas of Congress.
Rick Klein, your thoughts?
Well, a lot of this is going to get caught up in courts. And it's a reminder that we are not at the stage even of drafting those articles, that the Intelligence Committee is still technically just fact-finding to deliver information to the Judiciary Committee for articles of impeachment. So we're still pretty early in this process, as fast as things are moving right now. But today, I think, blows away any Republican efforts to dismiss the whole thing as a Democratic-led conspiracy. You have numerous officials, Trump appointees, people that are still employed in the Trump administration, saying that there was a quid pro quo, the top officials were in the loop about it, and that this was all going on at the direction of the president himself.
Yeah. A quick question. Some of the witnesses, including Sondland, are saying they didn't know in all the conversations with Rudy Giuliani and President Trump that Burisma, you know, make sure they investigate Burisma, meant Biden. Now, Sondland, maybe he can be excused for that, relatively new to this playing field. But Ken Volker, who was the former special envoy to Ukraine, also said he didn't know that Burisma was code for Biden's. And as he said yesterday, he found that appalling, you know, that Joe Biden in particular was known to be fighting corruption in Ukraine. You know, I'm a broken record here, but there has been a lot of reporting back in 2015 about how Hunter Biden being on the board of that company was not a good idea and how Joe Biden was trying to fight corruption. There, you know, no question about that back then. Is it possible that Volker didn't know that discussing Burisma meant Biden's?
You'd want to introduce these diplomats to Google, because it was very publicly known that that one it was equated with the other. And the only reason of American interest in Burisma, which was brought up during the Obama administration, there were questions raised about the propriety then and continued to be raised after Trump was elected, was the connection to Hunter Biden and his job. So I suppose if you're the ambassador or in a State Department role, there's so many things that cross your desk that you don't necessarily connect the dots, but it was hardly private knowledge. And I think you saw Ambassador Sondland say today that had he known at the time that yeah. Burisma equals Biden, he would have raised objections.
Yeah. Look, you are in Atlanta because of the debate tonight. I'm sure this will be a topic in that debate. But what else are you expecting to be the main conversation?
Well, it's a head-spinning moment for Democrats because they have to break through in some way. I think the critical thing to know is this is the first debate where Mayor Pete Buttigieg is a frontrunner. And I think there will be harsh questions for some of his rivals about his experience, about his policies. We know that there will be questions raised, as always, about Joe Biden and the other frontrunners. But there really is a top four in this race, and I'd expect real scrutiny on all of their records. And I think a real challenge for the others to make a campaign argument, given all of the other news that's generated out of Washington.
Senator Warren has released a transition health care plan to try to answer some of the questions about her Medicare for All plan. Some saying it's too late. What do you think she has to do tonight?
I think she has to continue to hold her own against these attacks if they come from various directions, and they will come from various directions. I think she's able to, though. This is a moment where she can go a little bit bigger and talk about the larger stakes, because what is playing out now in Washington, where these senators would potentially be jurors and not just candidates, shows the stakes of defeating President Trump. And I think it's easy to turn as a front runner to the real task at hand for Democrats, which is not arguing over the details of healthcare policy, but defeating President Trump.
Yeah. Look, I asked you earlier about, you know, this call for subpoenas on the part of Democrats, a warning against both Pompeo and Trump not to obstruct the investigation. But you said, you know, this will be tied up in courts. It already is. I mean, there's a number of people called to testify, Mick Mulvaney, John Bolton, who have joined a lawsuit asking a judge if they can testify if the president has told them not to, even if they're under subpoena. We understand that's not going to be resolved for weeks. I think the Democrats had promised to wrap this up sooner than that. What do you see happening?
What I've heard from Democrats is that they are not going to play by the time frame that they feel like the White House is trying to force on them with the deference to the courts. They think they've got enough information for articles of impeachment now on today's facts, frankly, yesterday's facts or last week's facts. They want to make the case as strong as possible, but they don't want to delay. They recognize what they think is a rope-a-dope strategy by the Republicans in trying to involve the courts. So they're not going to wait around for that testimony. Yeah. But I think Ambassador Sondland raises the question about what officials are willing to mislead investigators about. A lot of people are talking about the example of Roger Stone, sent to prison just last week after being convicted of lying to investigators connected to the Mueller case. So there are real consequences to not being forthcoming with Congress and with investigators.
Not to mention that there's things going on. I mean, the Senate passed legislation yesterday in support of Hong Kong's protesters. I mean, there are world events going on. And an election. ABC political director Rick Klein, he will be behind the scenes and on the scenes there tonight during the debates. Rick, thank you so much for giving us some time now.
It's my pleasure as always. Thank you.